Welcome to Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. In each of our programs, our intention is to bring to our listeners the best of people, places, and projects of Northern California that we think you're going to enjoy and that we think are exceptional. Today, I have in the studio an individual that was featured in November 2024 edition of Enjoy Magazine, that wonderful lifestyle magazine serving Northern California. I even like how their ads look. That's beautiful. Under the title of Joyful Volunteer. So I've asked in the studio Denise Jurgensen to join us. Welcome, Denise.
Thank you for having me.
So you're highlighted because of the ways that you volunteer and give back to community. I think you and I met sometime in the mid-80s. I think it was around probably greeters at Chamber of Commerce.
Something like that. Yeah, yes. I came to Reading in 1986 and worked for Lou Gerard.
Yeah, is that who you first worked for?
It was my first boss in Reading, yeah.
What did you do it for them?
Oh, my gosh. Well, Leadership Reading was the kickoff. You know, it was his dream.
Yeah.
And he hired me as a community relations coordinator, and I did all of their events, and I did all of their committees.
Yeah.
Maybe you might have been on one of those chamber committees. And we, Leadership Reading was a big deal for him, and he really wanted to get that off the ground. And so, along with a really incredible committee of a lot of these individuals have either passed away or just aren't here anymore, but mm-hmm. like Dr. Gaiman, remember her, mm-hmm. and Dr. Nystrom, Dr. Dennis, Dr. Remedios,
yeah,
Mike Arnold. Trying to remember who else. It was he had this dream to do this leadership training program. And so for I tease and say I've been through it at least three times because I was the coordinator. So I did most of the sessions and went on that bus with Judge Eaton.
Yes, yes.
Did many a tour. And then, you know, I did things like planned their greeters and their air show type events. I don't remember what they're called now. We were like more partiers back then, and I was very young, so
yeah, a lot of energy.
A lot of energy then, yeah. But it was a fun job, and Lou, he's amazing. He's still amazing. I think he's 96 now.
Yeah, and hasn't Leadership Reading been remarkable all these years?
You know, I at first couldn't wrap my head around this concept because it wasn't like leadership training.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand what you're getting here, Lou. It's these people, because back then a lot of pretty prevalent, prominent people went through it, and they already were leaders. And so mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't understand, but it really is a pretty amazing program that really introduces you, at least then. I've not gone through it officially myself, mm-hmm. but I didn't really need to. It teaches you, you know, what goes on in your community.
And yeah.
It was really good. I've been a presenter a few times since then,
mm-hmm.
on media relations and things like that, because that's my job, is to have media relations.
Yes. And, you know, I think it's so powerful because not only you network, you get to know people you would not maybe necessarily know. You also, if you don't have a background in nonprofit organizations, maybe it's a business you're involved in, you want get to understand that. You're trained in that so that you really begin to understand all facets of community.
Yeah, and you see the behind the scenes of a lot of things you'd never see, like the police department and things like that, that you're not going to see as just a citizen. I mean, you can if you want to, but it gives you a year? Is it longer
yes,
than a year now? Year-long program of pretty intense things. So it teaches you how to deal with news media and how to write news releases, and teaches you how to what the jail's all about and what the police department's all about. I mean, it's a good program. And
I think it is.
I think they're saying 40 years, and that was probably when Lou's initial dream started. I think the first official class, I remember, I looked back at my old newsletters that I kept, because I did those too for Lou. 1987 was the first official program.
Wow. What a legacy for him to leave to our community, and what a visionary.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah, and I know many, many people I know have gone through the training. And like you say, they are people that are active in community, but it also helps people understand how a nonprofit board functions and why volunteering for a board can be such a valuable contribution to community.
Yes.
So it's definitely very, very worthwhile program. And people can go online and apply to participate in it. And there's an application process. So there's an annual group. So if anyone's out there listening to who, I would have never guessed, Denise, that you were actually one of the first people to really help promote that.
Yeah, I was I led those committees, so at a very, very young age.
So I will always like to ask background. Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up outside of Marysville in Oliverst.
Mm.
Kind of, my original home was between Highway 70 and Highway 65, right next to Lyndhurst High School, which wasn't built when we first moved there, and right next to a cemetery.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What a great landmark.
Yeah. My mom was, I think, actually born at home in Linda, which is near Oliverst. Not a real affluent community,
mm-hmm.
but a good place to grow up.
So what did your parents do?
My parents owned a jewelry store.
Oh, nice.
My dad was a jeweler. He had been in the Navy, and when he got out of the Navy, he went to jeweler school. Or no, I think vice versa. I think he went to jeweler school, and then when he enlisted in the Navy in the Korean War, they used him as a machinist because he was a watchmaker as well.
Ah.
And then he worked. I was born in Yuba City, but we moved to Chico. And my dad managed Devon's Jewelers, if anybody remembers.
Yes,
Devon's Jewelers. And then he opened his own business in Yuba City. My mom was the bookkeeper, and it was a family affair, believe me.
So when you graduated high school, which high school did you graduate from?
I went
from?
To Lyndhurst.
Lyndhurst.
I went to Marysville for 1 year, and that was a unique experience because Marysville and Lyndhurst were on the same campus. So my freshman year, we had two schools in one school, and it was really kind of neat because it created a bond, and there wasn't a rivalry. And so the seniors got to choose which school they wanted to be for, and I was a freshman. So then my sophomore year, the campus was built outside of Marysville there, and so I finished there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Where'd you go after high school?
I went to Yuba College for 2 years. You know, not a lot of people in my, probably my generation and my demographic where I grew up went to college.
Mm-hmm.
My mom never did. My dad went to jeweler school, trade school.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not the norm for people to go to college.
And yes.
There was a group of, I think, maybe 10 or 12 out of my graduating class that went on in school. I think Dr. Robert Coronado is a graduate of Lyndhurst. I think he's a little younger than me. So I went to Yuba because to be honest, I wasn't ready to grow up. I was 17. I wasn't ready to be an adult. And my parents needed help with the jewelry store. My brother and I, you know, worked weekends and when they were gone. And so I went to Yuba, and it was a great general education. Got lots of units out of the way.
Good.
Then I went to Chico State. In my first semester, I did real poorly because I was out from underneath my pretty strict father's thumb and on my own and 20 years old and partied a little too much.
Yeah.
But I got it together and graduated. I think 2.5 years I was at Chico. I graduated in December of 82.
What was your degree?
Communications. So it was a new kind of created your own information communication studies.
Yeah.
And it was in the journal. It was really journalism. It was in the journalism department, but we kind of created our own major, and I kind of fell into that as I was a business major, and my economics teacher was horrible, and it turned me off from the business world so bad that I thought, well, I'd taken a business marketing class that was interesting, and my roommate was taking a public relations class. And I'm like, what's that? So I took this class, and it was like, oh, that's the perfect fit. You know, event planning and writing, and it just was me.
Isn't that awesome when you can find something you really like?
Yeah, it was great. And believe it or not, though, I hated public speaking. So I would not take speech class. I avoided that like the plague. But I ended up now, I public speak all the time.
Yes.
So you kind of end up doing what you should do, I guess.
Life demands. Huh?
Life demands.
Yes, yes. I always say I'm a night person, but because of being in the working world, I learned to be up early and at work. Even though it wasn't my natural rhythm.
Oh, my natural rhythm is up at 5 in the morning and in bed by 9. I like mornings.
Ah.
I think that comes with the marriage and children, and yes, you kind of want some peace, and that's your peaceful time. Yeah.
It's demand, yes, life demand again.
Yes, so.
So how did you end up in Reading?
Well, my boyfriend at the time, Randy, we were doing the, he lived in Chico and I lived in Marysville. So we were, every weekend I was in Chico or he was with me. And then he got transferred to Reading. He was a salesman for, I think it was San Sierra at the time, which became Icon, or he sells office equipment and still does. And he was being transferred and I'm like, yeah, this 2.5 hour drive Monday morning at 5 a.m. is not cutting it. And, it was really funny. We were at Carl's Jr. in Chico, and he sits me down. He's all nervous, and I'm thinking, oh, please don't propose to me in Carl's Jr. And he was all nervous about asking me if I'd just move in with him. Well, you know, back in those days, that was still kind of like a, ugh, and
taboo.
I didn't want to tell my dad. And but I talked to my mom, and she said, you know, you're gonna, if you get two apartments, one of you is never going to be in one of them. I said, true. So we did move in together in 1986, and I came up looking for jobs, and I kind of wiggled my way into the chamber. I worked at the Yuba Sutter Chamber of Commerce out of college.
Okay.
So I sent Lou a resume and letter, and he pretty much created a job for me.
Smart,
and it was
man.
Great. Yeah, he was wonderful. So, and so was his wife. He is wonderful. He's still with us. But so I came up and went to work for the chamber, and I think I worked there until 1990, and then I went to work for Mercy in their community relations department for 11 years.
So, wow.
Yeah.
That's a nice journey.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Then after that?
I work at Caltrans. I went to work for the government.
Yeah.
And I am now the public relations chief, so I have a staff of 6 people. And kind of built that department too. We didn't, they, really, when I started, it was me and Mark Favre, who was also a wonderful man. And we basically put out road bulletins and put out fires, but we didn't really do a lot. And so I wrote a communications plan of, we need to get out to rotaries and we need to do this and we need to be out there. And so over the years, I've been there 23.5 years.
Wow.
We've turned it, and it's evolved in throughout the state. The public information is much more respected, and they understand why they need it. And we do really try to engage the public and get an opinion and, you know, listen to them. Sometimes it's, you got to do what you got to do because for safety, but we do much more proactive. We do campaigns to encourage people to drive appropriately, and we're out there with information. We have an incredible app on, you can put on your phone, called Quick Map, that is wonderful for situations like today's weather where you're going to head to Mount Shasta and maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah.
So just some really neat things that have come along in the last 23 years.
I know for myself, I always call roads when I'm driving and get the lay of the land, what's going on. And my dad retired from Caltrans in 1984.
Right before I went there.
Yeah.
No. I went there I went to Mercy in 1990.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did he do?
He was he was the maintenance supervisor at Brake Hut over in Eureka.
Oh, wow.
So he started must have been around, we were in 63 flood, we were in Bridgeville, and that's when he began working for Caltrans as a laborer, you know, entry level. From there, we went to Crescent City, and he was promoting every step of the way. We lived a year in Tehachapi, was the lead man in Tehachapi for 1 year, filling in for someone that was off work, came back to Eureka. Then we went out to Forest Glen, and he was the foreman out at Forest Glen, which is in southern Trinity County. And from there, he went back to Fortuna for a year, then over to Eureka. Brake Hut is between Eureka and Arcata, and was the maintenance supervisor there. And he enjoyed that career. And his cousin was a maintenance supervisor here, Cooper Waterman, in Reading. And my mother's cousin was a photographer for Caltrans for his career and retired. So he was flying all over the countryside taking pictures.
Funny, because one of my dad's best friends when I was growing up worked for Caltrans, and I didn't even really know what it was, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, my next door neighbor at the time worked for Caltrans, and he said, oh, we're opening this position, and it'd probably be good for you. It's public relations, you know, project and community outreach. And, you know, the government system takes you about 6 months to get hired, but I took it, and then it led to, you know, being promoted to the chief. So
yeah, wonderful journey.
Yeah.
Yes. And in your journey, you've been very active as a volunteer in community, not only the work world, but the volunteer world. So I'm going to take a station ID, and when we come back, we're going to start talking about that joyful volunteer, as it was titled in the November 2024 edition of Enjoy magazine. So if you've just tuned in with us, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We're here with Denise Jurgensen. She had a profile occur in November of 2024 in Enjoy Magazine, and I invite people that are featured in Enjoy Magazine to come in, have a deeper conversation so community can get to know them. I kind of handpick who I invite in, and Denise and I really had a challenge of matching up our schedules to even make this interview happen. So thank you for staying with it.
Oh, no problem. I'm honored that you chose me.
Yeah. I think it's wonderful. I love Enjoy Magazine because the quality of the magazine, the beauty of the magazine, and the focus of their articles, it's always focused on positive things. And so to me, it's uplifting the communities of the North State, our whole region.
Yeah, I've always thought it was a beautiful production.
Yeah.
It's just well done.
Yes.
It's very upscale and really well done. And they do the things they find in the community to feature that I would have never known about amaze me.
Yes.
And like I said, the quality of the writing and the photography is just really good.
Yes. I met James Mazzotta in 2008. It was my first introduction. I used to live in the roundhouse in the middle of the pond, and I had gone out the gate, and I was sitting there on my phone getting ready to go, and I see this guy coming down the sidewalk, and he's waving these papers, and I'm thinking, should I pull out? I wasn't sure. Well, it ended up being James Mazzotta, and he's part of Enjoy Magazine. He came over to the window, and he goes, hey, we're our office, they were in the Outrigger. Now that building burnt down a few years ago, but they're in the Outrigger building when they first started after their journey with KMS. And he said, we want to feature the roundhouse. And I had never allowed anyone to come in and do a profile or feature the roundhouse. But when I was talking to him, and I was just so energized by my time with him that I said yes. And so he came out, Rhonda Ball Alvey came out, and we invited Shirley Spade and their daughter, because Bob Spade built that house. And so they profiled the house in 2008. And when James went to turn to leave, and I was going to go my way for the day after our conversation, I told him, I said, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful relationship. We both laughed, but I've been with them ever since.
Oh,
so
that's really neat.
It's really cool.
Yeah, I stole Yvonne and hired her as my graphic artist at Caltrans.
Yeah, good for you.
She's amazing. Yeah. I tell her often that I was actually afraid of her because she's so quiet that you don't get the right read.
Yeah.
And she's so talented and so sweet. I mean, she's just a wonderful lady, and I am really lucky to have her do grass. She's just amazing.
Yeah.
So, and James is just a force to reckon with.
Yes, he's amazing because... And he's an idea person. He comes up with ideas one after the other. He's amazing. And I can't say enough good about Rhonda Ball Alvey. Working with her all these years, she's always open, always available, willing to brainstorm, shows up when you need her, also trusts you to do what you need to do, and just an excellent resource. And also very active in community.
Yeah, I don't know Rhonda really well, but what I know of her, I really respect. But I know Daryl because I think he was on the chamber board when I was a 26-year-old working at the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
So, and then he became an attorney.
Yes.
So, and I think he used him once for something.
So. Yes. He used to be my neighbor. He used to be in the Outrigger building. And what was really interesting, when I went to apply to see about renting space in the Park Marina on the Pond House, he was the second person to approach them the same day.
Oh, wow.
So because I was first, I had first choice. And he always said to me, if you ever move, Lynn, I want to get in there. And I was there 19 years. So I think
that's
I
a pretty
waited
amazing
him out.
Building.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a landmark.
Yeah.
And Shasta County. Yeah. It definitely is. So volunteer, let's talk about being a volunteer. What inspires you? Why would you want to volunteer for things? What's at your heart with that?
Well, I tell my children, who are both grown, 31 and 30, almost 35, that you need to make change and a difference where you can and close to home. Because reality is, we can all be worried about what's going on in our world right now in our United States, but you really can't facilitate much there. So why not put your energy where you can?
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up with a mom who was PTA president of one school. Well, my brother and I are almost 6 years apart, so we were really only in school 1 year together. And my mom stayed president of the PTA, even though my brother was in a new school and I was not in that school.
Wow.
So she also did the same thing with Boosters Club president at Marysville High School. And so I saw my mom's volunteer, and she was in, I think, a sorority, you know, the Beta Sigma Phi. And my dad was in the Elks Lodge, and I just kind of saw that. And then one of my mom's best friends, Daisy Reese, we spent a lot of time with her and her husband. They had a vacation cabin, a real cabin, not a home, at Lake Almanor. And we spent a lot of time there on weekends. And Daisy was a school board member, and I just was always impressed by that. And so I kind of got that spirit. So, you know, seventh grade, I ran for, you know, school office at my junior high or middle school. And then I was vice president of our school in eighth grade, and our president got in trouble. And so I ended up president of our school. And I just kind of continued from there. I went on into high school and just liked to do things like that. So then when I moved, well, then I was in a sorority in college, and of course I was all into all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for the student union, and I volunteered for the student union to put on like Renaissance fairs and things at
Wow.
Chico. And so I just kind of like it. I get joy out of it in uh-huh. some way, because it just feels good to give back to your community and to help out with those kind of things that you're good at doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it just kind of, you know, Lou Gerard and Diane, those of you who knew Diane, she was a consummate volunteer.
Yeah.
And when I was at the chamber, the campfire board needed, and I was, I think, 27, 28 maybe. And she got me on the campfire board. And I met Terry Davis now, and Terry and I became really good friends. We went through our first babies together on that campfire. She was the secretary and then the executive director. And that was kind of my first thing in Reading. And then I can't even remember some of the things that I've done, to be honest. I just kind of stayed involved. And I was in Sir Optimus for a while with Ginny Mistel and that group, who, you know, those ladies
yes.
know how to get you in and get you working. And then I decided I wanted to go to Rotary, because I kind of wanted the mixture of men and women. And I ended up in Rotary. Now I've been in Rotary, oh my gosh, I think 24 years.
A long time. I know that.
A long time.
I do have a question for you, though, before I forget to ask you this. So do you really, it sounds like to me, the role model your parents provided to you, it was natural to volunteer.
Yes.
To be involved in community.
Yes.
And I think you also emphasize something that's important. Oftentimes people that don't volunteer or haven't had that experience, you know, say, why would I do that? You know, it's energy. Why would you encourage someone to volunteer? What's the trade-off for volunteering?
I think it's just, it's something you should do, and you'll feel good about yourself and about what you're doing. And the fact, again, that you can make even a small difference in your community and help someone. And in any of those volunteer positions, you're helping somebody in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's super important. And I, you know, in today's world, it's tougher for younger people to really find where they want. It's good in Reading. There's mm-hmm. a lot of opportunities. My daughter lives in Santa Rosa. It's a different community. You know, people don't volunteer. They don't know their community like they do here. So Reading is very welcoming to that opportunity. And I just feel, I get a good feeling out of helping. And so why not put your talents to use in a good way?
Yeah, I was just having a conversation with Barry Tippin not too long ago about how, like, I had conversations with the Billy Graham Ministries and Foursquare Ministries chaplains when they were here for mm-hmm. the car fire. They said they'd never been to a community like Reading, that they witnessed people stepping forward to help each other, that would reach out to people in need and would volunteer. They said they'd never seen that experience or had that previously, which I think says a lot for Reading and Shasta County.
I think it's just, it's kind of a thing we do.
And a value.
And you, a value, and you ingrain that in your children that you raise here. And when my daughter was in Santa Rosa when the fire hit there, and her partner at the time, they went and they were evacuated, but they went and volunteered at a shelter because they
Excellent.
Just felt like they needed to do that.
Yeah.
So I think you just, and maybe it's a generational thing, but it doesn't have to be. It, you know, other people can get involved as well. And I've just surrounded myself with people like that. I mean, Rotary yeah. is just a group of, I think we have 90 some members who, you know, you can ask any one of them to help you do something and they will.
Yeah.
And it's just that kind of atmosphere that you're around. And maybe working at Chambers of Commerce where it's, you know, it's a nonprofit and it's and there's a lot of volunteer base there.
Yeah.
So that may be some of the, you know, influence for me. And you do see the difference. And when we do things in Rotary, like when I was president last year, we had in the past, we'd done the Special Olympics two times a year, basketball tournament and their bowling night, and they have a dance. And we'd done it for years, and for, I think, COVID or something, it kind of fell by the wayside. So one of my goals of my year was to bring it back. And it's not a huge thing for Rotary to do. We make them sandwiches, bag lunches for their basketball tournament, and we hand them out, or we feed them a lasagna dinner after their bowling. But it is the most rewarding thing. They're so appreciative, so adorable, and it's just a great feeling to be there and just providing them with these meals. And just the kindness, you know, it's just a really neat thing. It's not a huge undertaking for us. Maybe cost the club a couple $1,000s, which is not a big commitment. And it just is a really neat thing.
You know, what I think is the real value when an organization or individuals volunteer is your relationship building. And we all enjoy food. It's all part of the human experience. And when you have an organization that you're filling in a gap that made that event for them more special because the food was provided by an organization, it fed the teams, but it also, the people that are giving are fed, you might say, emotionally, psychologically, because they're sharing in something. And it's really about, it builds our self-esteem, it builds our self-confidence, it helps us to grow because we're doing things we're not usually used to. And so we find our way and we're building relationship with others.
Yeah, Rotary is amazing in that somebody asked me, a friend of mine moved to Alabama and her husband were thinking about joining Rotary. And I said, the relationships are amazing. So my son recently got his truck stolen in Oakland, Alameda. Then he got a new truck, new to him,
mm-hmm.
and he's a handyman. So he's self-employed. And I mean, he's not making a ton of money. And he got this new truck and he had his tools in the back and some containers, and one of them flew out.
Oh dear.
So he lost saws, and he's not an extravagant person. He didn't buy expensive things, but still, he just lost his livelihood.
Yeah.
So Bev Stupak and Marge Beck, who are also huge volunteers in this community, put out a call to Rotary, unbeknownst to me, that if anybody had tools or anything, could they help Dane out? And it was just amazing, the outpouring of help. You know, I was a retired contractor. Come on over. Someone gave him a gift certificate to Home Depot. I mean, just, you know, that they'll support you. And I've always said, when you build those relationships with people, if I was stuck in San Francisco, one of them would come get me.
Yeah.
I mean, I just know that. And that's the great self thing you get out of these organizations is that connection.
Yeah.
Like, you know, meeting you when I was in, you were a volunteer at the chamber and I was on the chamber of staff, and I've known you now for how long, and we still have that connection. So yeah. It's just a, and those are the things you get personally out of it, and just a good feeling.
Yeah, it's powerful. That's why, you know, part of the reason I volunteer and do this program is to outreach into community and invite them to engage in community, because it's a different level. I mean, there are challenges in communities, but we can be part of solutions, and we can be building relationships that makes our community healthier, makes us individually healthier, but also our community much more healthy when we know each other. And then when we reach out to people we don't know, that really helps our community to thrive instead of just being out there on our own. It builds that relationship. It makes a difference.
And this community, there are lots of organizations that need volunteers. And if you have an interest in something, like for instance, I really struggle with the homeless situation, and I feel like, why can't we help these people? Mm-hmm. And so I'm now on the Pathways to Housing Board, which it's more of a respite care for homeless people who've gone in the hospital and then need a place to recover. But then they don't have a place to go. So it's, I work a lot with Kristen Trader. She's one of my really good friends. And I'm like, where do I put my energy here? Uh-huh. I just want to make a difference. And so that this board is run by Dr. McMullen, and there's a house that they can go to. And it's just a really great, it's a one little piece in that huge issue, but it's, I feel like I'm helping. So if you're interested in a certain thing, you want to help kids, you want, go look. There are places out there. I mean, contact me. I can find you a board you can be on.
Yeah, really.
And you know, being on a board is a huge responsibility, but it's great learning curve too for young people. I mean, you learn skills that you can take to your profession, you know, poker face. I tell my staff, you want to learn poker face? Get on a school board, because you've got to sit up there with no look on your face. And you can't let anybody know what you're thinking. And it's just safer that way.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, I was on a school board for 11 years too. No, 14 years. So I've kind of done a well-rounded gamut of different things.
Yes, it makes a huge difference. Giving back, really, it nourishes us. The thought is we're giving to others, but it really nourishes us, and it makes us healthier mentally, physically, spiritually, all the way around. I'm going to take a brief station ID, and when we come back, we're going to explore more about this Rotary thing that Denise is talking about. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I'm working in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.9 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with Denise Jurgensen. She is featured in the November 2024 edition of Enjoy Magazine as Joyful Volunteer. And you can tell from our conversation that she actually enjoys what she's doing when she volunteers. And I think it's important, like Pathways to Housing. That organization came out of a thought to address a need. I can remember Dr. Doug McMullen years ago talking about, we need this, we need this. He would talk about also when the homeless have to go to jail, the homeless have to go to the ER, all those are tax expenses. And especially, you know, for a hospital to release someone to the street, they're not supposed to do that. That's not okay. They have to keep them there till they're fully recovered. They just can't kick them out. And so Pathways to Housing met a need. Instead of paying hospital costs, they could be released to respite care. And that way, our cost for supporting people that are homeless isn't so extravagantly high. What a brilliant idea.
Brilliant. And it's another one of those places, much like Special Olympics. If you go, they have little barbecues at the house down on Kenyon. And I go because I also feel like if you volunteer and you're on a board, you need to participate, not just be a rubber stamp. Mm. And so I go to these things, and I've been to their barbecues, and it's just so nice. They're so appreciative of what you're doing for them. And Shasta Community Health staff. I ended up running into a young woman who was on the dance team when I coached it at Shasta High when my daughter was there, and she's now a nurse, and she loves, you know, helping these people. So you get that warm, fuzzy feeling again, and you see the good aspect, the good side. You see that, you know, these are human beings just like the rest of us, and they need help, and they're very appreciative of that help.
Yeah, so, it's amazing what can be done. Now, I'm going to pick your brain, too. When you were in Seroptimus, did you serve on the board, or are the other organizations you've talked about volunteering, or was it just come in and volunteer?
Oh, no, I was on the board. I think I was president when I was pregnant with my daughter. Like, again, I said, there are people like Kristen Schrader, Jenny Mistel, Marge, you don't tell them no. And you, and it's not, I don't mean that in a bad way. They just are so encouraging because they do these things and they bring you in and they encourage you to be part of it. And, you just kind of are doing it. And so, yeah, I think I was president of Seroptimist, and I didn't become president of Rotary for 23 years, so that they didn't get me, and then you know, too soon. But it was a great experience, very time consuming, a lot of work, but it was a good fun year.
Yes so in our community we have service organizations. That's what Rotary is, a service organization. Correct. Seroptimus, Kiwanis, Lions, there's probably
Exchange
others.
Exchange Club.
There's lots of different ones. So was there any particular reason out of all the different service clubs that you picked Rotary?
Well, when I was working at the chamber back, I think right before I left in like 1990, they were started accepting women into Rotary. And I remember saying to Lou, and this was Lou back then, he's since changed his tune, but it was funny because I said, I think I want to join Rotary. And he was so mad at me. You can't join Rotary. It's for men, right? So I joined Seroptimus because it still wasn't, you know, quite there. And Seroptimus was great, but the ladies were funny because a lot of them were retired, not the mm-hmm. ones I mentioned, but they wanted to stay and, you know, have a drink at the bar at Lulu's. And I'm like, I have 2 kids and a job. I have to go home. And, yeah. And it was good, but, you know, you grow in different ways. And I wanted to be, like I had said before, I was interested in being in an organization with both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked the particular Rotary. I knew Janet Irwin. She worked at the time she had worked at Riverview. And so I did a lot of events for Mercy with her, and I knew Janet, and I said, I want to explore this. And I explored I think 6 Rotary clubs in this area.
Yes.
And the reason that I'm by no stretch of the imagination an uber feminist here, but I liked the fact that there were more women in the Wednesday club mm-hmm. at Reading East. And there also were a younger demographic, because at the time I was 40 maybe. Mm-hmm. And so, I liked that makeup. You know, Lou's Club, we called them the old guys, and they were all the big shots. And, you know, that wasn't my thing. But so I joined, and it's still a pretty diverse group of people, you know, all different levels of
life,
age. Yeah, where I'm now one of the old ones. Well, not the oldest, but the older ones. And we have some real young ones, and it's just kind of a neat mix.
Mm-hmm. And how does Rotary pick its projects when it decides I'm going to do this?
Well,
or we're going to do this.
The president gets to, there's a grant process that goes through the International Rotary Foundation. And I picked West Camp because I wanted to see us bring back that rite of passage.
Yes.
So we got a grant for about $20,000. The other Rotaries help with it too. And we are rebuilding the amphitheater out at West Camp. So that was mine. And I believe when Lisa Girasi was president, she did something with the homeless. And there's been different grant processes. But I think it's, you know, there's the old standbys that you always do. But then there are things that are near and dear to people's hearts, like Special Olympics. I wanted to bring back. Marge Beck coordinates the Meals on Wheels. So we actually deliver Meals on Wheels, a group of people. We do Christmas baskets, and we Adopt a Highway, which had nothing to do with me. Somehow or other, we ended up doing Adopt a Highway. So we have a group that goes out and cleans up the highway once a month.
Yay.
It's kind of a board decision. So there's a board, and they meet once a month and, you know, kind of decide where we're going to put our efforts. We used to do a lot more hands-on projects. We built some houses, helped build houses down by Martin Luther King Park.
Yes.
And we've a lot of parks. The play structure at Lake Reading was built by my Rotary Club. So we used to do a lot more of that hands-on stuff. But that, I think after COVID, those things kind of fell away. So I don't know. The amphitheater It'll be some hands-on stuff by Rotarians, but we have one young gentleman who's young, great, dynamic guy, Hayden Euler, and he owns a big excavating kind of company, and he's done a lot of the work free gratis. So, you know, you see that too. You see these business people who, you know, they're working hard, but they donate their time and equipment to do things like that. Yeah. And that just is so cool.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, especially the young ones, because, you know, that's not as big a thing as it used to be.
Yeah. And I want to really encourage any young listeners or parents that have youth, you know, get them involved in volunteering, because that experience is transformative, because you end up enjoying what you're doing and it gives back to the person themselves. Rotary, you mentioned international. So when you're working with Rotary, it's just not, doesn't have to be just Shasta County. Reading.
No. There's a district, and then there's another region beyond the district, and then there's an international capacity. And we all, with the Rotary Foundation, you can donate to the foundation, and it goes to polio. I mean, eradication of polio is a Rotary thing. And I think we're almost there. There might be three countries that still have polio victims. Wow. But those kind of things, too. That's what's kind of nice about Rotary-type organizations is you can put your focus where you kind of want to. And I obviously am more into my local community, but I do donate once a month, comes out of the checking account, don't think about it, to the international. And that's kind of a fun thing too, because every $1,000 you donate, you get a pin, you know, and it becomes a, woohoo, I want my next pin. But yeah, Rotary is just a great group that is involved in all kinds of things. Yes. You can kind of do anything you want to do within it.
Yes, and I know that there's individuals that are Rotarians here, belong to Rotary here, that have worked on international projects and have traveled internationally through Rotary. And it's just amazing to hear the stories.
Yeah, I had an exchange student, and I've had a couple. Not, you know, short-term exchange, but one of them, he was a senior here from France when my son was a senior, and they, luckily for us, they bonded. And even when he went to, you know, they change homes every 4 months. Mm-hmm. So he went to another home, lived there, but he was always with us because he loved my son. And we went to Portugal a few years ago on a family vacation because my mom was Portuguese, and he met us. He came over from France and met us. So that was really neat to still have that connection too.
Yeah, those international relationships.
Yes.
Yeah.
And those are so valuable. Yes. You know, he got to see real American high school. Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, Rotary's just a great group. I mean, there's lots of the exchange club. I have a really good friend that's very involved in the Lions Club here, and you know, him and his wife are the Cyber Lions, I think they call themselves now, because I think it's all virtual. But they all of those groups do good things.
Yeah,
they're just, you know, you just find the one. It's kind of like I used to tell people when I was on the school board about schools, is you, now that you have school choice, you know, you used to, you went to school where you were supposed to go to school. Well, now you can pick, well, go visit and find the one that feels good for you. So there's plenty of groups out there that you can volunteer your time and go visit. Go see what they do and pick one that makes you feel good about what you're doing. And that's how I would do it.
Yes. And, you know, there's also, whether you're working with the county or local municipalities like Shasta Lake, City of Reading, or Anderson, they all have commissions where they ask volunteers, or advisory boards, advisory committees. There's lots of different ways besides service organizations. Schools need volunteers to help with things. So,
yeah, and they're always looking for board members. And I am on a city commission, and that was kind of driven by the fact that I kind of thought at one time I might want to run for city council, but I've decided against that. That's just way too much public pressure every 2 weeks, and I'd rather put my energy where I can, you know, do something else. But I am on the Community Service Advisory Commission. So that's Parks and Recreation, basically.
Yes.
When in did my you, last year.
Last year?
Yeah. I've
What's
been on
a term?
4 years. So four this years. Is my second 4-year term.
So you started with Kim Niemer?
Yes.
And work now with Travis Minnie.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. And
good.
Barry Tippin and I used to work at Caltrans together back in the day.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he was from Caltrans.
So I know the whole gang. And Kristen Schrader was mayor, and she appointed me to the commission back. I think she did it twice because I think she was mayor both times.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, and that's fun too. I mean, they're going to vote on what to do with the Big League Dreams, and that was a decision. We make recommendations to the council. Now, do they always do what we recommend? No, but the tourist bureau type decisions. We, Erica Jones and I labored over that for a good year and a half and made a recommendation to the commission. So it's valuable and your input's valuable. And, you know, this big league dreams thing is tough because, I mean, I don't, the third party thing just doesn't work for us here. So I feel like the city needs to find a way to make it work, but with budget, who knows?
Yes.
But that's a good example of volunteers. There's several, that's their fun thing. They love softball. They want to continue it and they've stepped up to make it work. So there's another place you can volunteer.
You know, thinking about working on with the city of Reading on the community services board, when you make a recommendation, you're not just pulling that out of the air. What's that process you have to do to make a recommendation?
Some study. The Tourist Bureau one was huge. We interviewed the local hotel people. We interviewed the local amusement type situations like Turtle Bay, et cetera, rodeo. We interviewed tons of people to say, you know, what are we lacking? What do we need? And then we did, you know, a call for proposals. And God, I think maybe 20 some proposals from different organizations or different PR firms and to put forth to the city council. So we actually had one recommendation, but it ended up changing when they brought forth three and then they picked what they wanted. It's huge. It's huge. You know, the baseball thing, we voted on it last time. We listened to what the staff recommends because they're the experts. They know what they can and can't accomplish and what's doable. And then we make recommendations and sometimes we don't agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we want something different and sometimes it goes to the council and they don't agree with us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good thing. I think you get more community involvement. And Caltrans is big into community engagement now. And I'm always saying, well, but when we engage, we have to listen. And government, that's tough for government. And it's tough for people who are experts in what they do because they're experts. And they know what, in their mind, is the best thing. And sometimes that doesn't set real well with the community.
Yeah.
But I think the engagement and including the more people you can in those kind of decisions is a good way to go.
I think so, too. And I think it's important to realize that when you serve on a committee, a commission, advisory board, you're rolling up your sleeves and you're going to go to work. You're just not sitting in a chair for a couple hours.
No, and I think you need to understand that you are one of 5 or 10.
Yeah.
And that isn't your decision. I did get a call about from a news media outlet about that baseball. And I said, you know, I can tell you what I feel, but I can't speak for the commission.
Right.
And there's 5 of us. It's the same thing with the school board. You are not the lone decision.
Yeah.
And sometimes, for instance, Christian Schrader and I, we argued over cupcakes at school parties because she is very healthy and she wanted the carrot sticks. And I was like, cupcakes are a rite of passage, Kristen. And so we compromised in the policy was that, you know, they would also provide something healthy. Well, uh-huh. I'm like, who's going to eat the carrot sticks? Not me. So, but we, you know, kind of butted heads a little bit about it, but we became great friends.
Yeah.
So I think that's what everybody needs to remember is you need to be unified and you need to work together and listen. And it's kind of critical thinking, you know,
yeah.
Like I don't know, 5 years ago during the pandemic and all this stuff going on. And I remember talking to my son who's 31 now and, you know, he hadn't quite gotten there yet. And he was very one-sided. And I have polar opposite children. And he was mad at me about listening to some news source. And I'm like, Dane, here's what you need to do. You need to listen to your sister's news source and you need to listen to your news source. And then you need to make an informed decision yourself.
Yeah.
So that's what boards are about. Everybody can't be a rubber stamp of each other.
Right.
But when you don't get your way, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You've got to put your input and maybe you swayed the decision. Maybe you didn't, but it's what's the best outcome for the community, not for you.
Yeah. I think that's an important lesson to develop those critical thinking skills is imperative to well-being, I think.
Yes.
This is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. Myself, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We're quickly running out of time. We're here in conversation with Denise Jurgensen. She is featured in the Enjoy magazine in 2024 as the Joyful Volunteer because she's very active in community, has been. Lifelong. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, too, before we run out of time, we talked about your parents being role models. But in your journey, have you had mentors along the way?
Oh, definitely. Lou Gerard is definitely, and Diane, they definitely were mentors for me. And, you know, then I look now to some of my peers like Kristen and Bev and people that have been very involved as well and what they've done over the years. And I had a boss. I've also had some great bosses. I mean, you remember John Jacobson at the hospital and Mark Favre, who was a maintenance person like your dad. And he came up and he was the PIO chief when I started. And Mark is a wonderful man. Just he's very involved and he's just great people, just really great people.
You know, it's amazing. I think of my journey out at Shasta College, and there was one of the instructors out there, Warren Lytle, and he was teaching energy, and he taught about the environment. And what I appreciated about him is I couldn't get into his class because of conflict with schedule with a half hour. And he told me, you come to my class, you leave that half hour, because I had to have that math. And he says, at the end of the semester, you can challenge the course. And I did that, and I passed the test, and he said, actually, you're the highest score in the class, which I was so proud of. But when I graduated and walked across the stage, I can remember him yelling, yay, Lynn! So those people that can feel like it's not very much can make a huge difference in someone's life.
Difference.
I mean, you think of your legacy that has, I always describe it as we stand on the shoulders of our mentors because they've lifted us higher than they have been
and
in
it's
this
just,
lifetime.
The respect you have for them. I did ask Lou one time a few years ago when, you know, the younger generation, and as you get old, you become one of those, the younger generation. And I said, was I like a problem child at the age of, you know, 26, 27? He's like, no, why? And I said, well, there's just some out there who just won't listen and they don't, you know, it's their way and they're right. And I said, I hope I was never that way. And he said, no, you were never that way.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's kind of my kids. My daughter is, I call my daughter for advice. She's a marketing expert. And she, you know, I call her and ask her. And she never makes you feel like, well, I'm just so superior because I know everything. And she's just a great young woman. And I hope that I had a lot of influence there.
Yeah. Where's she living and working?
Santa Rosa. She works for a computer company as a project manager. Not really doing her marketing thing, but she still dances. She's danced her whole life, teaches dance, and dances on that's her thing. And yeah, she's doing well.
You know what? I also appreciate the story you were talking about with your son losing the tools out of his truck and then Marge Beck and Bev Stupak getting together, making calls to really... our reach, even though we're here in Reading, we can give to others that maybe they originally came from Reading, but they're in other places and they're making a difference in those places and we can make a difference in their lives.
Yeah.
I think it's a powerful message. We have about 6 minutes left in the program. Is there anything we haven't talked about that you think is important for us that you want to share with community?
I just really encourage people, even, you know, if you're retired and you're looking for something to make you feel good and, you know, use some of that time besides sitting on the couch watching Netflix, which I keep thinking that's what I would do in retirement. there, like I said before, there are lots of organizations and they are always looking for board members. I was on the Reading Fashion Alliance board for years and just ended that term. And you know, if you have a passion, I ended up running into my sorority president from college at the Reading Fashion Alliance because she's a designer. She recycles old lace and she was a beautiful designer.
Wow.
She was, I think her daughter was on the cover of Enjoy. So think about what your passion is and what you want to do. And as I keep saying, just that little bit, you think, oh, that's not really going to make a difference, but it will. Mm-hmm. Just that little bit. I mean, daughter, you know, she doesn't have time to volunteer, but she's made a habit since she got out of college that she donates $100 a month and she just picks a different organization every time.
Yeah.
So she's donated to things in Reading because they were her thing when she was here. And so just, if it's not money, it's your time and a little bit of time. Call me. I'll have you help me at a Rotary event. There's plenty of boards that are looking for people, and it isn't as big a commitment as people think it is. It's not hours and hours and hours. It doesn't have to be. It can be something simple. So, mm-hmm.
And many organizations will have a fundraiser. Maybe there's one a year or twice a year, and they just need help with that fundraiser. So it's not like a year-round volunteer necessarily. I also think of the volunteers out at Whiskeytown, mm-hmm. because there you're more in the environment and dealing with the environment. So you really sit down and think about what would I like to do, I think makes a huge difference.
And you can find it. And most of us get involved because our kids are in school and maybe that's what we do. And then when they're gone, graduated and grown up, where do you put your energy? Well, there's plenty of places to volunteer.
Yes. One of the things you had talked about earlier, too, that I think is important, it's like you and Kristen Schrader are very good friends, but you've also disagreed strongly with each other and had opposing views. And despite that, you're able to work together. You still had respect for each other.
Yes. Being on those boards is such an incredible learning curve for people. I mean, you really do learn patience and you learn collaboration and service and anyone. I mean, I started my sorority in college was a non-Panhellenic, which is a non-national, and we didn't blackball people. We didn't pick and choose. We let anybody join. And believe me, working with 50 young women, and some of them you're not that fond of, was an incredible learning curve.
Yeah.
And set me up for work and situations where you're not thrilled with who you have to work with, but you have to.
Yeah.
Poker face again.
Yes. And you figure out a way to make it work.
Figure out a way to make it work. Yeah. And you end up with lifelong cool friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with so much division in our culture, I think that's an important message that we can disagree with someone. We can be very different from someone. We may not even necessarily care for that person's way of working with things, but we can still collaborate.
Yes.
We can still find a way to do something meaningful together.
Yes. It's so important.
Yeah, I think so too. And for the future, do you see yourself doing anything new on the horizon that you haven't?
I was asked recently to join a board, and I think the organization is wonderful, but I said, you know what? I kind of want to step back a little bit, and I'm still on Rotary Board, and I'm still on Pathways, and I'm still on the Community Service Advisory. So I have plenty on my plate.
Yeah.
And those, you know, those who do can, and just because you're already involved doesn't mean you can't give a little bit to another one. So I don't know. I'm probably going to retire soon because I am of that age. And, I probably will find other things. I really do want to. I talked to Kristen the other day about helping a little more with the homeless situation because I just feel so bad when I see some person who just needs help.
Yeah.
And we need to find a way to fix that.
Yes. Our community is very active in helping the unsheltered homeless. And there's a lot more to be done. And I think the more that I can't imagine being out there in the cold, in the rain, or in the heat, you know, it's just an untenable situation. So figuring out ways, because it is a symptom of our culture that we have the situation we do with the homeless. It's not just unique to Shasta County and Reading. It's clear across our nation and in other countries. So as a prosperous nation, how do we help people to lift them up and empower them to get back into society?
Yeah.
It's a very daunting.
It's huge. And when I drive by someone, I drove by a gentleman one time and it was pouring down rain and he was sheltering his dog.
Yeah.
And I felt this compassion and this pull to help him. And I went back to Safeway and bought anything I could think of to cover him. And when I went back, his girlfriend had shown up and he was having a seizure. And
Wow.
Without even thinking, I'm like, can I take you to the mission? And I took the three of them to the mission, and good. They were so appreciative. And, you know, I don't know what ever happened with them, but you just, sometimes you just want to, what can I do? And we've got to find places to take these people yes. when they need shelter.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're on my way to work every day. They're underneath the Eureka Way overpass.
Yeah.
They, you know, when they're out in the open like that, they're not trying to hide. They're not up to no good. They need help.
Yes.
And we need to find a way to.
Absolutely. And that's our invitation to our listeners. Let's all work together to find a way to help the homeless, the unsheltered. Hopefully, the message people have heard, I can see why the title of the article was Joyful Volunteer. You've done it lifelong. You're still at it. What I know to be true of you, Denise Jurgensen, is that even when you talk about retirement, you said you're going to find other things to do. So you're giving. You are the joyful volunteer. Thank you for spending time with us, sharing your journey and your inspiration. I want to remind Denise, myself, and all of our listeners, we want to make this day and every day a day to enjoy exceptional living. Thank you for joining us.